on reading Campbell McGrath's Pax Britannica, and it says in February in the fields around where I live. There's hardly a dryad left in Ireland now. None to speak of in February, the first lambs staggering the mud, their moth-eaten dams losing their coats, no grass, no fodder, the screech owl patrolling by night. Even in May they're in hiding. They shake change into deep spikes on the blackthorn. They wring the twisting hands of the young oaks. Survivors have grown vengeful and half savage. One summer they lived in the Judas tree by our gate. We saw their bones stick out. We heard them laugh. That was the year that it died.
There's
a French poet called Colin, whom I really like, and I'd like to read this for Jean-Marie Charon, who is visiting tonight. And Colin is an extraordinary poet because he's both a private poet and a public poet, and he writes as though history is something that comes rolling across the landscape and there's no stopping it. And so I wrote this poem, it's in the style of, and it's called September Thoughts. He wrote one called August Thoughts. She squats in the matted woods, making water, into the moss and the hush vague with gnats, stares at the silvery trail of the slough, round the tea-brown, contorted, inedible fungi, while up in the house they sit waiting and knowing that this time is always like this, is always suspended, centuries deep and will pass. The trees will open their hands and the shores of the lake will clot with drowned leaves. The people will dream and die and give birth and hoard money. Everything will go on, going on. She has only to lie on the floor reading books. Already the darkness presses the window. And this one is called Self-Portrait, and it's about, do you know the way there's far too many people living inside you, and then there's something that sort of encloses the lot of them. Sometimes I think of that Buddhist image of the egg with the white and the yolk, which are opposing, and the yolk feeds off the white and makes something else, but the egg encloses the lot. Anyway, this is Self-Portrait. I fear the dark bird that sits in the rustling leaves of the tree. The dark bird that's always waiting to plunge on the crouch of myself to destroy me. I fear its cruel eye, its blood-rusted beak, its talons from history. I am the dark bird that sits in the leaves, neither shifting nor blinking. I am the raw flesh that's hunched at the roots, ensnared in my fear. But who is this tree, its great branches singing and sighing, sheltering a raptor, shielding its prey? The next one is called The Latvian Stir Ghost. Up the hill from where I live on the Karlovy-Kilkenny border, there was a house which stood vacant for many years because it was a very damp house and all the inhabitants had died of TB and no one would live there for years and years and years. And then the Celtic Tiger came and there was nowhere that didn't get done up and somebody would live there. And these Latvians came and they lived there, and the young woman who had two small children, she when she came she couldn't speak a word of English, and her husband, and they just came at the wrong time when the work was going, and they were just unfortunate. But she was stuck up there with no transport, and it's 4 miles from any shop. Somehow she and I became friends without language, and we developed a communication, and then they moved into Kilkenny, and this is our first meeting after they moved into the town, and it is partly the story of them living in that house, but it ends on a sorrowful note. But in fact, the end of the story is also sorrowful. They did get deported to Latvia, though we call it by other words. We say they're passport pay. But she's now in London, and she's working, and her mother-in-law's minding the kids, and she does phone up, and she's very dear to me. It's called The Latvian Stergos. When I saw her in her urban kitchen, thin and smart in her charity shop green dress, a glass wall was between us, polished spotless with some soft cloth of mistrust. All winter she lived up the hill, in the grey house with the damp walls, the rain fading the fields, the snow, its ice-flow memories of Riga, darkness, home. The nights we laboured at her table, those filled in forms, the dictionary, the child's first homework, together sounding out the words that marched beside the pictures in his school book, the dog dancing, the leatherette sofa, the baby heaving herself slowly upright, the bitter amber taste of milk tea, all those months of friendship are now nothing. Was her warmth just a trick of survival the child of an orphanage cannot unlearn? Had my impulse been only my training that no one should be so alone? The house was old. Others had strained before them to keep the turf back and the children's head. Awakening, had they heard this common language and lent us grace to act a simpler truth? This is Otter's. It was written on Apple, hence the fuchsia flowers in the black box. Otter's. Fuchsia flowers waited with rain. Black bog flesh, sodden and dense, nowhere to go but within. Last night I was far out to sea. Winged otters leapt from black rock, cresting waves crashed, then slid back. Now the rain comes, the rain goes. All day the otters stay close. The fuchsia flowers hang, small red dabs. I sit at the window and think of the body gone back to the earth, of the end of myself to myself. But the otters with wings come and go. They are marvellous, fearless, and bright, and I shine, and I shine, and I shine. Very kind. This is called The Editor of the Premier Journal of Moldova. It's like me, you don't know where Moldova, well, when I met her, I didn't know where Moldova was. It's next door to Ukraine, it's downwind from Chernobyl, and it's about the poorest country in Europe. We were on a residency in Switzerland, and this woman who had great dignity and a lot of defiance when everybody had to introduce themselves, and it was quite intimidating and smart, and she said she was the editor of the Premier Journal of Moldova. And later we were, last time that happened, it was my phone. The banshee we went for a little bit discovered quite how much courage she had because there are no streetlights in Kisina, which is the capital city, and it's run by the mafia, etc. So this is about dinner at in this Swiss chateau. In Switzerland, we're international. We speak at dinner of ex-Soviet countries, of the state they're in. We talk at the ball, discussing the solution. Someone finally turns to her and asks. The table pauses, but she makes the wait run on. On doit partir. What, everyone? She thinks about this seriously. Oui, tout le monde. Perhaps it is that thought of Soviet humor. October, I just wrote this last October because it was very golden. I don't know if it was here. It wasn't this year. October, the world is a small red fox. The light is a golden goose laying eggs in the pumpkin patch. The red fox moves through the grass. He snuffles about in the wrinkled leaves on the scent of the golden goose. But the golden goose will drown in the night of the deep black rains of November. The little red fox will shrivel and starve. His white bones will lie in fields. This is called Grace. It was written. I was standing at the station in Battlestown in Harlow waiting for the Dublin train. I wrote it some years ago, in fact, but nothing changes that much in rural parts. Grace. At the station, the rain is over. It is before the rain. Sky, then ash trees, then hawthorn, brown, elder. Cow parsley, wild carrot, chervil, all in full flower. The scent stretches down through the wet air like icing sugar from a sister. It dissolves on touch with the warm earth, runs off in puffs like breath. Sunday morning, people waiting, the farmers in caps, their wives in new dresses, their young sport and trainers. They stand around, inside this invisible fragrance. There is something unearthly about it, like the fragrance from the body of a saint. Flowering grasses grow between the sleepers. Rain comes again, not cold, whitening the sky. Curling fronds of opening leaves, stretching on the straight, clean rain, and the quiet people waiting. Some of what I'm writing at the moment is about aging. This poem I'm going to read now. I was writing it. We went to Spain on holiday this year, and I started writing it on the beach there. And when we came home, I finished it. And we have this habit of I give my husband my poem to the kitchen table, and I handed him this one. And there's a line in it that says, "I am watching my husband grow old." He handed it back. He just picked up a pen and he handed it back to me, and he changed grow old to entering early middle age. How's that for coolness? So it's called 60. Everyone is slowly going home. The shadow of the pine lies stretched and sprawled across the trodden sand. The waterline creeps close. I am watching my husband grow old. The stoop in the lines of his bones. The hesitant note in his gait, where once there was ease and strut. The mirror his form holds to mine. is not how I want things to be. It cancels the contract of life. It stifles our birth home with clay. But everyone is slowly going home. The shadow of the pine lies stretched and sprawled across the trodden sand. The water line creeps close. This is on theme of painting by Honey Ball, Frustrate to Bring Us to the Serenade. Some people may have seen it, it's a cover of one of Bona Brock's books, and it's a very strange painting because it's a house like a child's drawing, but it's got no windows and no doors. And it's called the Negation. The house has no windows, and there is no door. The path that leads from it falls out of the frame. The house has no chimney to push out thin plumes. The sky has no clouds. The house stands on a dark field, in haunts where the mind is dumb. Who is it who has painted this refugeless journey? Who is it that denies us comfort in our deepest places? I'll just read two more stringers. This one is called The Zebra Stood in the Night. It's about a dream I had. Sometimes I think dreams tell you a lot about yourself that you don't want to know. The zebra stood in the night. Now it keeps flashing up on the screen of my mind. The lines on its body sharp and precise. No blurring of edges, no shading. I'm surprised that I seem so surprised at the hardship that's dwelling inside me. Black, white, black, white. No compromise, no bleed. Breaking up. This was written on Banner Bay down in Wexford, which is actually where the Normans landed. But it's long since tilted up, so the Normans can't land there anymore, but bit late now. It now has vast flats. When the tide is low, you can walk for miles on when the estuary is out. On sort of muddy sand and with pools of water. And we went. Somebody lent us the house for a couple of days, and we went down there. And it's called Waking Up. I took the cutters out of my pocket. Drew the long knife from my stocking, laid them on the table. Then I opened my eyes. The weather was blowing across the skylight. I sat up, threw back the bedclothes, stepped onto the wooden board. That was the day starting, vulnerable, open. Later, there was the wide grey estuary, the sand, the windy light, the seabirds calling, the skies were cities that formed and dispersed. Away in the distance, the pup was clearing the gulls. Right under my feet was the sup of the watery sand, the ooze and worm cast squirming between my toes. I was a dot, a tiny concentration of blood and bone and intelligence, moving about under all that darkness. Isn't it strange? At once so particular and so enormous. It always fascinates me the way we are ourselves, and yet we're always also part of all this. That the mind can be inside and outside like that. I'll read one last one. This really will be a last one. this is a, I was asked to write a series of poems for an abbey near Kilkenny, and there was one of the towers had been lived in for a long time. I mean, the abbey of course has been in ruins for several hundreds of years, but there was one of the towers that had been lived in right up to present times or recent memory. It's called Winter Morning. You are here in this, if it starts with a quote across the line, you are here in this one station now. This is your portion under the sun. This waking in the morning, the soiled patches of dream heating the bed, this gathering yourself in the grey dawn. Over and over, something emerging, submerging, so little is conscious, so much dispossessed. Being here in this one station, in a world running off into the future, off into the past, and our dark prayer crying out.